It's Thursday, February 25th, and this is VOA's International Edition. Hello, I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Coming up, global market jitters expand with uncertainty over Britain's EU membership. Potential proof surfaces of the cause of a Malaysian passenger jet crash. Diplomacy continues for a planned cessation of hostilities in Syria. Also ahead, the U.S. government gains an unlikely ally in the struggle to unlock a terrorist's iPhone. She has one name, and she's one of the top music stars. We'll hear more on today's International Edition. Global financial markets took another tumble as investors have become increasingly nervous on a couple of big issues. One, of course, has been the slide in oil prices, as we're now joined by VOA economics correspondent Jill Malandrino from New York.
That is true. And this has been quite a volatile ride this week. And it's really happening because of three things. Oil, as you mentioned, we saw the sell-off there following Saudi Arabia's oil minister saying that they are not going to cut production. It's as simple as that. It's a flat-out no. We've also been talking about the central banks and how negative interest rates can impact domestically and globally. But the big thing this week is Brexit. And that's an acronym for Britain exiting the European Union. And this is pretty big news. I think this is even bigger than oil. The foreign exchange market, the FX markets, as we call it, it's the largest. It's bigger than all the equity markets. It's bigger than the energy and metals markets. And when you start to talk about one of the largest economies, Britain exiting the union, that's a pretty big deal. And that's really where we saw those shockwaves on Tuesday and then going to trade on Wednesday. And the background really behind this is Britain's prime minister, he set a date at June 23rd as the date for the referendum on the country's membership, whether or not they want to stay into the European Union. And the big deal with this is it has a big impact on the global macro picture. It raises more questions than it actually supplies any answers. What's the new model going to be like for the UK? To what extent would the EU allow the UK to remain in terms of economic ties? You also have what's called contagion risk. And what this means is, will other countries follow? So there was so much work put into developing the European Union. To see it dissolve or to see it on such shaky ground right now, it's a pretty big deal for the market. You have to worry about foreign direct investments into the UK. Would they rather invest there or the EU? I think this is going to be the theme that we hear about at least through the spring when it comes to oil, central bankers, and Brexit.
And this will be a long-running story. We've seen the markets react quite a bit to other national situations. Mm-hmm. We had the issues with Greece and Portugal. This is a little bit different, though, because while people were fearing perhaps a domino effect in those scenarios, this is a different domino effect.
This is definitely different because the UK is one of the most important global markets. And what other periphery nations could potentially follow? Their biggest partners in the EU are the Netherlands, Ireland, Cyprus. Ireland is really important because it matters if they want to stay with the EU or not. Look how many companies have repatriated such a significant amount of their revenue to countries like Ireland, Google, Amazon, Microsoft, just to really escape the complicated U.S. tax implications here. So this is a big deal. We need to be able to figure out where foreign direct investment is going to and what the contagion risk is. Are other countries going to follow the UK? When this was first presented in 2015, there was kind of that feeling this most likely won't happen, but we're starting to see that opinion really narrow down with all of the political and socioeconomic issues that we're seeing with migration issue in Europe. And quite frankly, you know, the euro isn't performing well. It's been a very volatile currency, and this could be a more real scenario than it has been in the past.
Well, perhaps the Royal Bank of Scotland was onto something when they warned investors a while back.
Mm-hmm. That's for sure. And I think this is why you're seeing so much volatility in the markets because of what's happening with global central bank policy. And it's not just about devaluation of currencies or moving to negative interest rates. When you see something like the UK, which is such an important global player, start to think about coming out of the EU, this is probably as big as it gets.
It's always smooth sailing when we speak with Jill Malandrino, our economics reporter from New York. Jill, thank you for filling us in.
All right. Thanks, Jim.
Well, up next, we have our social media correspondent, G. Abby Lee, right here in Studio 22 to talk about the joint conference between Secretary of State John Kerry and visiting Chinese Foreign Minister Wang Yi. Hi, G.
Hello, Jim. So the top diplomats discussed a wide range of issues, including the South China Sea, Syria ceasefire, and the climate change. But for this segment, let's focus on their joint efforts to rein in North Korea's nuclear and missile ambition. So the State Department shared a video of Deputy Spokesperson Toner previewing the visit. And of course, China's state media Twitter accounts are also talking about the high-profile meeting. For example, CCTV America at CCTV underscore America sent out this tweet. Chinese Foreign Minister Wang Yi says both China and the U.S. do not accept DPRK's nuclear program and do not recognize DPRK as a nuclear state. DPRK, of course, refers to the North official name of Democratic People's Republic of Korea.
Right. But the two sides didn't come to an agreement. When it came to the missile defense system, THAAD, what's the buzz like on Twitter?
So the Xinhua News Agency tweeted a quote from Wang Yi that says that missile defense deployment in ROK, which means South Korea, directly impairs China's security interests. And to that tweet, one user wrote, "Do missiles and planes on China's new islands impair security of other countries?" And China actually announced last June that its creation of seven new islets in the South China Sea is almost complete and raising tensions in the area where there are already tensions over territorial disputes.
Well, gee, I came across a tweet from Xinhua that showed pictures of protests against the THAAD deployment in the South. Is that the prevalent statement?
So I saw the photos that you're referring to, but having combed through Korean media and social media outlets, I don't think so. As you know, South Korea is a robust democracy, sometimes a little too robust, if I may say that. And the THAAD deployment being a very important national security issue, there are varying opinions about it, and everyone feels very strongly about it, too. That's all for me today.
Well, thanks for that wrap-up, G. You can follow her on Twitter at GAbbyLee. I'm there as well, at VOA Stevenson. And our program's account is at VOA underscore IE. This is VOA.
News happens around the clock. And VOA brings you the latest at the top of each hour.
This is Joe Palca.
I'm Victor Beatty.
Francis Alonso.
Tune in for a summary of the news at the top of each hour, around the clock, on The Voice of America. Hourly newscasts on the radio and on the internet at voanews.com. VOA, a leader in news coverage for over 70 years.
Hi, I'm Larry London, and I'm the host of Border Crossings, inviting you to join me for one of the best hours of request music possible on the radio. We've got all your favorite songs by your favorite singers. You tell us what to play. It's requests and dedications, and it happens every weekday right here on The Voice of America.
This is VOA's International Edition. U.S. President Barack Obama sounded a cautious note Wednesday on whether the impending ceasefire in the fighting in Syria will lead to peace talks to end that country's five-year civil war. Meeting at the White House with Jordan's King Abdullah II, Mr. Obama said, "We are very cautious about raising expectations on this. The situation on the ground is difficult." President Obama reached agreement earlier this week with Russian President Vladimir Putin on a truce that's set for Saturday, although it allows for continued attacks on Islamic State targets and forces fighting for Syria's al-Qaeda affiliate al-Nusra Front. Syrian President Bashar al-Assad said he's ready to support a ceasefire in his war-torn country. Syria's state-run news agency reported that Assad told Putin in a telephone call that he endorses the U.S.-Russia truce. But the effectiveness of the would-be ceasefire remains in doubt, with Syria's main opposition group, the Saudi-backed High Negotiations Committee, or HNC, which has yet to commit to the U.S.-Russian plan. Combatants are required to agree to the cessation of hostilities by noon, Friday local time, 12 hours before that truce is set to take effect. A team of investigative journalists claims to have evidence showing that the missile that shot down a Malaysian airliner over Ukraine in July 2014 belonged to a Russian battalion that had recently deployed to the region. 298 people died when the flight from Amsterdam to Kuala Lumpur was downed. A Dutch-led joint investigation team is still probing that crash, and we have more now from Henry Ridgewell.
Investigators from the website bellingcat.com claim to have put together a mass of evidence pinpointing the origins of a specific Russian-made missile launcher firing a so-called Buk missile that it claims was used to shoot down Malaysia Airlines flight MH17. Elliot Higgins, the founder of Bellingcat, spoke to VOA via Skype.
Rather than talking about, oh, this missile launch has come from the Russian army and it's all rather nebulous, we can say these are the names and faces. These were people who were, you know, knew what was happening to the Buk missile launcher, who would have passed on the orders.
Higgins' team collated videos of a military convoy in eastern Ukraine posted on the internet in the hours and days following the shooting down of flight MH17 and identified a Buk launcher they believe fired the missile.
Some of the photographs of the Buk missile launcher from July 17th in Ukraine, there's markings visible on the side of the missile launcher that matched perfectly with markings on the side of their missile launcher that was part of a convoy in Russia in June.
Bellingcat then plotted the route of that June convoy in Russia using videos posted online by soldiers and civilians filming from the roadside. It appears to have started at a military base close to Kursk, the home of the 2nd Battalion of Russia's 53rd Air Defence Brigade, and ends close to the Ukrainian border. Again, Elliot Higgins.
What we've been able to find is a vast number of social media accounts belonging to soldiers who were part of the 53rd Air Defence Brigade. And based on that, we were able to kind of piece together who they were, which members of the brigade were in that convoy. So they would have been people who'd have seen this missile launcher. They would have seen it leave at some point. So these are kind of, you know, key people for the investigation to be speaking to.
Bellingcat partly identifies the commander of the 2nd Battalion as a man named Dmitry T and names the overall commander of the 53rd Russian Air Defence Brigade as Colonel Sergei Borisovich Muchkaev. All details have been passed to Dutch investigators. The investigation concludes that even if the Buk launcher was given to Ukrainian separatists, Russian soldiers were likely still present to advise on its operation. Russia has consistently denied involvement and at the time offered photographic and satellite evidence purporting to show that Ukrainian forces shot down the airliner. Ukraine dismissed the accusation, while Bellingcat says the Russian evidence was forged. Henry Ridgewell for VOA News, London.
You're listening to International Edition. This is VOA.
News is mobile and so are you. Get VOA on the go. Get VOA on Google Currents. Get VOA News specifically made for your tablet and smartphone. Clean, simple, fast. Now available for Android or Apple phones or tablets. Download the Google Currents app for free today. Get VOA on Google Currents at voanews.com/currents.
The news never stops, so keep current on your mobile device with VOA News. Just go to m.voanews.com/English for instant, up-to-the-minute news and entertainment. Check m.voanews.com/English on your handheld device for news as it happens. Stay connected with a fast-changing world with m.voanews.com/English. Microsoft founder Bill Gates is a rare high-tech executive siding with the U.S. government in its standoff with Apple. The company that makes the iPhone is refusing to help FBI investigators access encrypted data in smartphones used by two terrorists in December's San Bernardino, California attack that killed 14 people. The information could provide clues for possible other terror plots. Slotica Hoke reports the outcome in this case will set an important precedent for the future.
Americans value their privacy, but many give priority to the nation's security.
Security.
Privacy.
Both of them are important.
Apple CEO Tim Cook says complying with the FBI's request would make his company's phones more vulnerable to hackers. Facebook founder Mark Zuckerberg expressed his support Tuesday in a speech at the Mobile World Congress in Barcelona.
I don't think requiring backdoors into encryption is either going to be an effective way to increase security or is really the right thing to do for just the direction that the world is going in.
But Microsoft founder Bill Gates said Apple can unlock the device used by the San Bernardino shooters without creating a so-called backdoor to penetrate every iPhone. He told the Financial Times newspaper that the government could make the same request to a bank or a telephone company.
Let's say the bank had tied a ribbon around the disk drive, and they say, oh, don't make me cut this ribbon because you'll make me cut it many times just because this guy's such a terrible person. Anyway, it's a simple question of do voters want the government in any case to be, is there any case where a company should provide the information?
Gates said the government and technology companies must find a way to protect citizens' safety as well as their privacy.
I do think people want the government to act on their behalf if they feel like the safeguards are there.
Gates and many others predict that the case may end up before the Supreme Court to clarify the issue because they expect many similar cases in the future.
I think that's why there has been such a large outcry on this case in just a matter of days, because both sides understand the complexity and the importance of the case.
The outcome is being watched worldwide as other countries face or will face the same dilemma. Zlatica Hoch, VOA News, Washington.
Well, probably a lot of music on smartphones around the world is by Rihanna, and she always happens to be in the news musically. Here's International Edition's Susan Yockey with VOA Border Crossings host Larry London.
Border Crossings' Larry London has joined me here in the studio, and he's going to tell us about a new number one song in America by Rihanna. Welcome, Larry. What's going on?
Well, Susan, I've got some big news for fans of Rihanna and fans of music in general. We have a new number one Billboard Hot 100 song, which happens to be Rihanna's 14th number one song. That is very impressive, especially when you consider that only Mariah Carey and the Beatles have had more number one hits than Rihanna has had.
Well, that's something to respect.
That is definitely something to respect. Rihanna turned 28 last week, and she's been in the news recently for a number of different reasons. She was supposed to perform at the Grammys. Apparently, there are sources who say that she had a meltdown and pulled out of her performance, although she blamed it on bronchitis and said her doctor said to rest. And I know that her tour for her brand new album, Anti, which is her eighth album, her tour had to be delayed by 2 weeks because of production problems, something with the stage. But they've put it back to March 12th as the opening day for the new tour. Anti, by the way, is her new album. She put it out in a very unconventional way, kind of following in the footsteps of Beyonce. She released it on the Tidal web streaming service before it became available otherwise, on Amazon and iTunes and all those record places.
And can you tell us about the song? It's called Work.
The song is Work, and as I mentioned, it's Rihanna's 14th number one. Drake is featured on the song, and this is his second number one song. And the two of them once dated a number of years ago.
Oh, so you know so much about these
there's
people.
Just so much stuff going on, Susan. And the song is called Work.
Work, 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 work. You see me, I be work, 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 work. You see me, do me, da, 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 da. There's something about that work. To have you lurking, you make a like, now you don't like it. You know, I dealt with you the nicest. Nobody touched me in the righteous, nobody text me in a crisis. I believed all of your dreams are duration. You took my heart, all my keys, and my patience. You took my heart, I must leave a decoration. You mistaken my love, I brought for you for foundation. All that I wanted from you was to give me something that I never had. Never seen something that you never been. Mm-hmm. But I wake up and nothing's wrong. Just get ready for work, 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 work. To me, I'll be work.
What else do you know about Rihanna?
Well, Rihanna is right now she's gearing up for the tour, as I mentioned, which is going to be a great tour because she's going to be bringing a lot of guests on. And so it's always going to be exciting. Rihanna does a great job and is very controversial with the message in her music and her performances on stage, the clothing or the lack thereof that she wears during the shows. Always make her to be a very controversial artist.
What kind of messages?
The messages, R&B, hip-hop, that's kind of the message that she's always been conveying. So there's not much difference with the new album from what we've come to know and love from Rihanna. And by the way, the song Work, has been, I guess, received by so many people on the internet that it received over 151 million downloads. So
that's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money. And in addition, it's the ninth number one hit in a row for Rihanna as a non-American because she is originally from Barbados.
Wow.
Ninth number one in a row for her.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Larry.
Well, there you go. Thank you, Susan.
I spilled all my emotions tonight. I'm sorry. Rolling, 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 rolling. How many more shots until you're rolling? We just need a face-to-face. You could pick the time and the place. You spend some time away. Now you need to forward and give me all the work, 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 work.
It sent me up there, work, 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 work. You see me doing my da, 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 da. Something about that work, 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 work. When you walk out, la, 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 la.
While Rihanna is number one on the music charts, you're always number one with us. That goes without saying, but hey, there, we just said it. Thanks for listening to International Edition. You can find us at our website any time of the day or night. VOAnews.com is the place to go. We're also on Twitter at VOA_IE. And a big special thanks to everyone who viewed us on Facebook today for the program. Come back and see if we pop up again. You never know. Our director is Tracy Carter, engineer Dan Crafton. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. We hope you have a wonderful day.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
In Armenia's capital, Yerevan, USAID recently announced the launch of the Advanced Science and Partnerships for Integrated Resource Development Project, or ASPIRED, a three-year initiative designed to curb the rate of groundwater abstraction in the Ararat Valley to sustainable levels. USAID's recent assessment of the status of groundwater resources in the Ararat Valley, the country's key agricultural hub, has indicated an alarming situation. The decreasing level of groundwater supply and the uncontrolled use of artesian water by fish farms has left some 30 communities in the Ararat and Armavir region without reliable access to drinking or irrigation water. In addition, these water shortages pose a real threat to the country's agricultural sector, the socioeconomic and environmental well-being of these regions, as well as the safety and security of Armenia's sole nuclear power plant, Metsamor, which relies on these water resources for its cooling system. Despite recent measures by the Armenian government to regulate the use of artesian water in the valley, the situation remains serious and is among the Armenian government's top priorities. USAID's new ASPIRED project will assist the government of Armenia in developing consistent policy and technical solutions for a more regulated use of these vital groundwater resources. The project will focus on closing data gaps, improving technical capacities, and tools for informed decision-making, increasing access to innovative water conservation and energy efficiency technologies, and promoting regulatory and enforcement mechanisms. ASPIRED will also conduct an inventory of the wells and springs in the Ararat Artesian Basin, create a publicly accessible integrated data system for the valley, install an automated control system for monitoring groundwater abstraction in 10 selected fisheries, and pilot innovative technologies for efficient groundwater and energy use. Policy recommendations will be provided to the Armenian government to optimize fees for underground water use by fisheries and introduce stricter water permit practices and oversight. The United States is proud to work with Armenia in meeting the needs of the Armenian people for sustainable water resources.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.